Right, so with me today, I've got the wonderful Gavin Buckland. A lot of you probably know him from the Royal Blue podcast, his interactions on Twitter. If you ever want any sort of Everton knowledge, Gav is the best man to go to. Some of the trivia he comes up with is brilliant. I particularly enjoyed his stat about the derby in 2024, which was a good omen, wasn't it? The last time Everton had played on Wednesday, the 24th of April at Goodison.
Yeah, oh, since the Bayern Munich game, yeah, nice one. Should have one of them this season. I don't know what they can we fit a game in on the 24th of April?
Yeah, hopefully it's a good day for us, isn't it? It's a good
especially
against teams wearing red. So yeah, I'm sure a lot of you know Gavin. He's Everton's official statistician. Statistician, apologies for that. I'm not very good at pronouncing that word. You know, he's written numerous books. I really would encourage you to check them out. He's got the wonderful Strange Book Blue, and I really enjoyed Money Can't Buy Us Love about the 1960s. Some lovely stories in there, and some of the stuff in there, Gavin, as well, I found really illuminating. I didn't realise how nervous West got before games. Do you know what I mean? Gordon West.
I mean, I think a lot of players, I mean, those are the days when players didn't get support. You know, they're very much left for their own devices. And Gordon was, like, I think Gordon was erratic at the best of times. But I think if you listen to the tales of him, I think he was, you know, he'd be ill before matches. But I've had several players, I think, over the years.
Yeah.
Being nervous before games have had the same impact, and you know we build them up, but they're just human, aren't they? At the end of the day, and I think it's one thing an outfielder being really nervous. I think when the goalkeeper is a little bit edgy, I think that's when you could be worried. And Gordon was a great Everton keeper. But he did have his moments. He got sent off at Newcastle once for lamping someone. You know, he was a character, Gordon. He's sadly long gone, but he was certainly before Southall, he was probably our best, most high profile.
Definitely, yeah. He had a good relationship with the cop, in inverted commas.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And those are the days when it was all done in, it was all good fun, when you could get away with stuff. And there's the famous photograph, isn't it, of the poor fan coming on for the handbag for him, Money West. You know, that was I loved all that. I mean, that's all gone. I was the game. I remember when Bruce Grobbelaar came his first season, he was like known as the clown because he was always messing around and he was a bit erratic. And there was two Everton fans dressed as jesters. I'm glad the scene got on the pitch before the game to shake his hand. And that's sadly, now you'd probably be arrested for that, wouldn't you, really? That's sadly gone, that type of humour. So I've never had a problem with, you know, last season, you know, the Newcastle fans dressed up as Tyrannosaurus Rex, you know, like for Pickford. I love all that. I think that's good fun. You know, we take football far too seriously and stuff. And I love all that. I thought that was good stuff. That if done in the nicest possible way, you don't want to be screaming and abuse them. But I think. You know, we miss all that. That was, I mean, going the game in the 70s and 80s could be a bit naughty on occasions, but there was a little bit of humour, terrace humour there, I think, has largely disappeared, sadly. But yeah, Gordon was on the receiving end of a few bits. But there's the famous photograph, isn't it? I think when we won the title in 70, we won 2-0 in March at Anfield, and there's that photograph of him where he's obviously been getting loads of stick at the cop.
Yeah. The cop, I can see it now. I don't know what you mean, but he's giving it.
He just turns around and he's just on his knees in front of him with his hands out wide. And he, you know, revenge is a dish best served cold, as they say. Yeah. But Gordon was a great Everton keeper for a long time. And he took a long, you know, you'd argue Neville probably was 8 years, and we had a couple of keepers in the meantime, but Neville was probably after a long gap was up, you know, West standard, and then went on beyond a better keeper than Best, obviously.
That's completely fair. And you know, that's a lovely story. There's so much in that book that's interesting, and
thank you.
There's even a lovely tale about and this does segue into this season, bear with me, you'll see it. There's a lovely tale about the near miss of getting Archie Gemmell.
That is, I mean, how long has this podcast gone to last for? It's gonna, yeah, okay. I mean, Yeah, because obviously Scottish son was Everton at the time we're going to talk about, and and Harry Katter wanted to sign Archie. He was a great player, scored the famous goal in the World Cup against Holland, and in 1978, and he wanted to sign him when Archie was a Preston and thought he'd set up the deal, and Brian Clough also fancied Archie, so Clough basically didn't leave the house. He stayed in the house, Archie's house, until he signed over breakfast, like, and Harry was completely oblivious to it. You know, at one stage, it's quite funny, the Gemmels didn't have a phone, and Clough's in the Gemmels' house trying to sign him, and Gemmell had told Harry, if you want to phone me, you'll have to phone me neighbour. This is so primitive, isn't it? It's just like unbelievable. Yeah. Harry phoned the neighbour's house to say, can I speak to Archie? So the neighbour come in to speak to Archie to say, Harry Katic's on the phone for you. So I'm like, right, come here with me, you know. And yeah, I say in the book that I've got a bit of a conspiracy theory about that. I think Harry at the time, him and Alan Ball had a bit of fallout, and Archie's the best of him was Alan Ball's dad.
Well,
I think there was something there where I think he tipped Alan Ball, had tipped his dad off of like that.
Yeah.
That actually, I don't really want Artie coming to Everton because he might threaten my place. And I think because Alan was in poor form at the time.
Yeah.
And I think I always think there's a bit of a conspiracy there. If you want to see the fact that Alan Ball was under a bit of pressure, and his dad was manager of a player who might put Alan Ball under pressure. Well, actually, it might be better if Archie doesn't go to Everton. And I might be completely wrong with that, but I think there's an angle there that is a bit unresolved. But yeah, he was a great player. I mean, Archie could have played. He's talking about the Holy Trinity, and Archie could have played any of their roles: Kendall, Harvey, or Ball.
Wasn't he, Archie?
Yeah, yeah. John's great career with Forest and beforehand Derby, and it was just a little bit of a conspiracy. You've got no evidence whatsoever.
It makes sense.
I think because Alan and his dad were very close. Yeah. And I can't believe that there wouldn't have been conversations.
Yeah.
But that Alan Ball Senior telling our Ball Junior, listen, Harry Katic's trying to sign.
Yeah.
Archie Gemmell. And I think that may have contributed to him not going to Everton, and that was a big miss. Archie would have been a great player. You built the team around Archie. Yeah. I thought we were doing I didn't realise you were doing the 70-71 campaign.
We're going to fast forward 31 years.
31 years, yeah.
Yes, that was just my segue into Scott, because I think before we get into the season, he's never played. Divide some people's opinion. Obviously not as stellar as dad. I thought he was quite a good player, but I think because he was a bit lightweight at times, people maybe didn't think an awful lot of him. But he features heavily in the season that Gavin said he really was looking forward to discussing. So, Gavin, when I kindly asked to come on the show and you were generous enough to come on, you actually asked if you thought if we could discuss 0203, which is quite a big season in modern Everton history. How are you feeling going into the season?
It's a good question. Optimism, I think, is the word. I think we'd had obviously years of decline from the title winning season in 1987. I think when you get to 1990 onwards for 12 years, maybe one top half finish in those 12 years. We'd had a couple of Walter, I think, just about held the fort, didn't he? But we weren't going to progress. And we got Moyes, who, if you think about it, was, you probably talk about that in that season itself, but I think it was quite a risk, wasn't he, really? He was no Premier League pedigree, but hugely promising. And I think to point some those at risk, it was a bit like, I suppose, I don't want to sort of compare it, a bit like we got Howard in 1981. I mean, Howard was relatively unproven as manager. He'd only had 2 years at Blackburn. He was a second division or whatever, second tier manager, like Moyes. So you're taking a risk there, but the other side of the coin is actually you don't know what somebody's ceiling is. And I think with Moyes, he was touted as being the next big thing, really. You know, he possibly could have gone to Man United as Ferguson's coach, and I think it was a bit of a coup for the club to get him. And
he turned down a few jobs, I think like Southampton and West Ham in the Premier League.
Yeah.
For the right one. And, you know, I think he seems to basically jump at the chance to come to Everton, didn't he? He was quite
upset
at the time.
I think because of the locality as well to where he was living helped. And so there was optimism. And I think also that it was the 100th season in the top flight, which the club made a big thing about. And rightly so. It was a great achievement. And they had all the I don't know what you call them, just the hoardings around the ground, weren't they, of 100 season, the top flight, and the picture of Dixie Dean. I know somebody's got one of them, by the way. And gone from the ground. And so that added to the anticipation.
It did,
and
yeah.
I think we obviously had the World Cup in the summer, mm-hmm. or early summer, and we got Lee Tia and Joseph Yobo, who both played. And so there was a bit of optimism, and Moyes had bought Richard Wright, sort of than any optimism thing. So yeah, it was good. Let's face it, the other aspects, this is some of the feature in a lot on this 2002-03 campaign is Mr. Rooney, isn't it, really? Who had been well known amongst Everton fans. He'd been the star of the team that got to Youth Cup final. He was on the bench, was he? Or I think Moyes wanted to put him on the bench at Southampton.
We won 1-0 down or something.
Yeah.
Steve Watson scored. And it was a deal of being on the bench, not just because he was a year older than me, Wayne, so I know he was leaving
Steve
at that time. He'd also been given Gazza's shirt, which was no mean feat. He took number 8
from
Gazza.
So he played well in pre-season. He scored a few in pre-season, hadn't he? And we
up in Scotland, we did like a mini tour, didn't we?
And I was. I think the being said, he went to Anderlecht as well. I think that was a bit moody, wasn't it? The friendly in Anderlecht, but I think there was loads of optimism, I think, around the place. I think when he got a new manager at the start of their career, or in ways he just started, I think there's always that feeling that, you know, could be a great season. And I think that's what's disappeared from the game then, isn't it? It's so stratified now, isn't it? You know, the best you can do is if you go up, you know, it's go up a couple of places and you had a good season, because you know you're not going to get to the next level. And then, as you'll see, the gap between those at the top and those in mid-table wasn't as great. So you could theoretically do, you know, jump up.
Yeah, you could.
You know, more than a few places than what maybe you can do in the modern era, you know, in the last 5 or 10 years.
Definitely. And this season's a perfect example of that. The Blues, we go from 15th to 7th. You know, we finish on, we finish really high up. We get 16 more points than the previous season. We only end up 8 points off the Champions League places, 5 points behind Liverpool.
Yeah.
And, you know, we run out of steam a little bit at the end, which cost us European places. Blackburn pip us at the death when they romp to victory at Spurs, and we get beaten by United at Goodison. But
yeah,
I agree. You think about it, you touched upon the summer business. You bring in Richard Wright for a bit of outlay, but Yobo and Lee Tai were loans. Rodrigo coming alone, David Unsworth put pay to him pretty quickly in a training session at Belfield.
Yeah.
But I think going into it, what I liked about it is, Everton didn't have a lot of money to spend, but it felt like there was a bit of out-the-box thinking for the first time in a while, because when you look back towards the end of Walter's reign, I think Walter did a decent job and he gets unfairly maligned, but I think things have just gone a bit stale. You know, we won one of his last 13 and things are just, they just run the course. So I think seeing this summer, in this summer of 2002, you've got this young player coming through who's so promising, and you've got exotic signings, because the Premier League, although it was becoming global, a lot of the squads were still mainly British at this point, weren't they? So it may be a bit more of an element of excitement too. But going into the season, I mean, I was excited. I got I got to the Tottenham game before the gate opened. I think I was the first person to buy a programme in the paddock.
Well, if you'd have bought your programme, and this is is one of the other reasons why I'm a big fan of this season. That was the first season I had the programme column.
So I
remember the Spurs game and rushing to buy the programme, you know, before the game, just to see Buckland's bits and bobs, and it was great, because I remember somebody, it may have been afterwards, somebody said to me, the great thing about it was, somebody said once that if you can't play for the club, the best thing you can do is contribute to the programme, and I sort of get that, you know, that, yeah, I get that. So that was the good thing about it. The bad thing about it was somebody said that I look like Franny Jefferson's our fella.
To be fair,
I haven't got the smallest ears in the world, and especially when I was a bit younger. And, you know, and the thing is, when you just have a profile shot of your face and there's no background to it, it does tend to accentuate your, shall we say, your bigger bits. And I look at it now, and I do think there's probably an element of truth there. I do look like Franny Jefferson's dad, and I was old enough at the time as well. So that was it. But that was I always remember that day. It was a boiling hot day, wasn't it? In middle of August, and I remember that vividly. I think it was rather the last time I paid to get into Goodison. I've always gone to the press box since that game.
All right,
I've been lucky enough, because I started doing stuff for the club on match days and so on, and it was really. But I always remember that day. It was roasting, and of course, unusually, because I think they thought that Rooney would be a sub. But Moyes started them, didn't he?
Yeah, he got a bit like 4-3, didn't he, with Campbell and Rosinski up there with him?
Yeah, and we were unlucky that game. I think Moyes said afterwards we should have won. We drew 2-2. I think Rooney sets up the first goal, the great bit of play, didn't he, for Pembridge?
Yeah, it's a good goal. That's a really good goal.
And then Richard Wright, I think he was, I said the first goal with thing is Eddington, he lamped one, didn't he, into the roof.
Yeah, he blasted the near post.
Yeah, and Richard Wright stood there. Yeah. And then the second one, Les Ferdinand was a bit of a, out push shot really from the edge of the box and right.
In Rich's defence, the one thing I'll say, the only thing I'll say to defend him on this goal is it was Les Ferdinand at Goodison Park. And yeah, I remember the screams of when he come on off the bench, people like, not him.
And it wasn't even his last goal at Goodison, wasn't he scored for Leicester the following season?
He scored a brilliant goal for Leicester,
Les was just a thorn in our side, but and you know what? I think them Reds, since he scored, he had a good season as well. And I think we possibly should have won that game, even though we ended up having to scrape an equaliser about 10 minutes from the end or something.
Another good goal, it was well worked, wasn't it?
Yeah. But the right thing, you know, I've watched the season of you a few times, you know, a lot of goals we conceded that season, Liam was like, right, is that clearly a fault, isn't he? And it was obviously early on that he was maybe not going to be the solution. That cliche about being a shot stopper, definitely. But if looking back now, there was quite a few goals where you think, oh, he should have done better.
Yeah, he should have. And to be honest with you, that'll be music to Kev, my co-host, is when we put this interview in the episode, because I said, I thought Richard Wright wasn't too bad in 2003 a few years ago. And one night, we had a drink at home watching YouTube, he watched the season review and putting on Everton WhatsApp group. Are you messing about Richard Wright? He's throwing them in.
Yeah. And I know, and even when, you know, Nigel Martin came in, it effectively, he was back up and then, you know, was replacing him within, like, you know, 6 weeks. Even then, like, Wright hung around like a bad smell, didn't he, for 5 or 6 years?
Episode 2 of our pod. So it's good. Yeah. We point out his last Everton appearance is in 2006. He does, he does stick around for quite a while before he gets the Man City.
If there is some heavy hammerings around that time, in that period, it's not Martin in goal or Howard. It's Richard Wright. He was in goal at Arsenal, wasn't he, when we shipped 7?
He did goal at Spurs on New Year's Day with a 5-2, wasn't he?
Yeah. He was, he just, We had a good period around November time where he didn't concede and he stopped a few. But overall, he was distinctly underwhelming and not helped by the fact that he did find unusual ways to injure himself.
He really did,
both on and off the pitch.
Yeah.
And he was not good enough, right? And I think it was, it was quite obvious, I think, as soon as Martin came in. If you only got a 37-year-old who's bad, he's quite obviously superior to you. You know, you're struggling.
Definitely.
And that was obvious. The Spurs game was an indicator there that he was perhaps not going to be the goalie we thought we were getting.
Yeah, it is. And do you know what? Two of the points you made, the ball out in the second game of the season when we went to Sunderland, because he makes a great save from a pen, but gets injured saving the penalty.
Yeah. And it was also a penalty giveaway himself, wasn't it? He pokes Niall Quinn over. Yeah. And that was the irony in that was, like, he saved the penalty of Kevin Phillips. And all the players were rushing up to congratulate him. But, like, I don't know why he congratulated him. It was his stupidity in the first place that caused the penalty. And we won 1-0, didn't he? Kev Campbell scored. Do you want a bit of a stat?
Always.
Campbell came, as far as I can establish, the first player to visiting player to score at both Stadium of Lights.
Okay.
I got onto this at the time. He'd scored for Arsenal at the Stadium of Lights against Benfica in the European Cup in 1991. And he scored, obviously, there for Everton. And I thought he may have been the first player to score the both, because not many, as you say, there was not a lot, there's still foreign players, but not a lot of movement. Yeah. But Stefan Schwartz, remember the midfielder?
That's literally the name that came into my head.
He was at Benfica and he was also at Sunderland. And Schwartz scored both of his before Campbell scored his second in 2002. But Stefan Schwartz, famously, the player had he had the thing in his contract, didn't he? About
not going to space.
Yeah, flying to the moon, wasn't it? Something. Yeah, that they had to take out of his contract. Yeah,
at the end of his time, I'm really happy for him to go up there, though.
Absolutely. But so we got to that. I think we beat Sunderland, and then I think I can't remember the next game. City, we got beaten.
Yeah, well, we have a few defeats. We're a bit up and down, really, aren't we?
Yeah.
At the beginning of the season, and we have like the wins against Fulham. There's defeats against City, and then you have obviously the big night at Wrexham where Wayne gets his first goals. But I want to kind of jump forward a little bit, obviously, in terms of the interview, in terms of moving on to you touched on Wayne before, and I think what we're going to do is I want to discuss the Arsenal game with you and your memories of
that,
because for me, that's one of the most important games in modern Everton history. So the Arsenal game is pretty big, but we'd visited Manchester United just before that, hadn't we, Gavin?
Yeah.
What were your thoughts and memories of that game?
A steady start. We've been a bit unlucky in a couple of games. A couple of refereeing decisions have gone against us, but Old Trafford we played really well.
Yeah.
At a ground that we normally get a good tonking. And I think we got beat 3-0, but it was 0-0, I think, to the 86th minute.
It was, wasn't it? And we just collapsed a little bit at the end.
Yeah, I think we conceded one, and then I think we got sent off and they scored the pen. And then the Scholes made the 3-0. But for large periods of the game, we kept United at arm's length and we were threats ourselves. And there's that great run, isn't there? Rooney comes on a sub, doesn't he? There's a great run from the halfway line where he ends up shooting it straight at the keeper when he was 16. So we've been unlucky, I think,
you could see it coming, couldn't you? You could see the one.
You think there's something going on here.
Yeah.
And we had a couple of home wins and Arsenal came and they'd not lost for, I think, 30-odd games, the champions. They'd not lost away for 17 months. And
They hadn't lost away all the previous season, had they?
Exactly. And I think that was a great Wenger team. And I think I remember going that game thinking, I think it's something special. And there's still something magical about the 3 p.m. kickoff. You don't get that now, do you? A big game at 3 p.m. of a Saturday. No. But there's still something magical about it. And I remember thinking I was really looking forward to that, to today, today's game. And it was, it's certainly the best game I'd seen at Goodison since the glory days of the mid-80s. And I would imagine in the history of Goodison, obviously the last season, is I think it's still one, certainly the modern era, one of the great Goodison games and obviously moments.
It is, yeah. It was a ding-dong, wasn't it? Both sides had a go at each other. It was quite an open game, wasn't it? And, you know, I think sometimes when you think of Everton winning against Arsenal, I mean, in that period, you know, that's only our second one against Arsenal in 6 years. And the other time we'd beaten them, we had a bit of a scratch side under Walter, but they had like players like Malinger and Luzny in the team that beat them a couple of years earlier. This was, they were full pelt. They had players like someone we discussed off air, and we discussed often on Twitter, Patrick Vieira, Henry, Jumbig. Yeah. They had a fantastic team, but it was a really good game with both. It wasn't like a smash and grab where like, oh, we've maybe got a set piece or whatnot. We played some nice stuff on the day, didn't we?
No, yeah. And spoken of me about the, it's far more competitive, the Premier League, in terms of the gap between the top and mid-table and bottom wasn't as great.
Yeah.
And we were mid-table, they were top. But the gap wasn't so great that actually, you know, it's like games now. You don't see a game between a club at the top of the Premier League and a mid-table one like that Everton Arsenal game in 2002. You just don't see games like that anymore.
No,
you know, the gap is so great, and you know, the team in mid-table will, you know, park the bus or whatever. It'll just you know, we'll just sit back. But we went toe to toe. We went with goal behind. Then we scored. They switched off at a free kick, didn't he, on the halfway line? And Graveson, I mean, Graveson was a strange player in some respects. He was capable of the sublime 1 minute and the ridiculously banal of the next.
He really was, wasn't he?
Yeah. But I think he drove through Fedley Carsley. He's a really good shot.
He's unlucky with that, wasn't he? He's a great
actor. Yeah. And you're thinking, oh, that was one. I remember watching thinking, oh, and the ball bounced out. And Lezinski was developing to having a really good season. He fired I think it was like toe poke back in, wasn't it? It was a bit of a strange one. And it was 1-1. And we, you know, and you're thinking, you'll take that. And then Rooney, I'd obviously, he'd become Everton's youngest goal scorer in the game against Wrexham in the League Cup, where he scored two. And he came on as sub, and it's the last, you know, it's what players do, don't they, players? It was his last game as a 16-year-old, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was, wasn't
I think it was the Saturday. I think he was 17 on the Wednesday, and or the Thursday. And I remember he come on as sub, and we all know it's one of Goodison's great moments, isn't it? You know, never mind of the modern era or the Premier League era, it's one of Goodison's great moments. And it vividly remains in my memory where I was watching it from. As I say, I was sitting in the press box.
I can see it now from Cardiff. I can see it.
And I think it was still lightning. I think it was a bit moody. The
yeah, it's got a bit grey. And there's some odd
when
the lights come on, but it's still there. Yeah. There's something a little bit magical, isn't it?
And that's the atmosphere. And I think it was Graveson just dumped the ball in the air. He killed it. Yeah. And then, as we all know, he perfect right foot. It wasn't a side foot, but it was nearly as good as, wasn't it?
He got very controlled, wasn't he?
Got the bend on it. And I kind of still remember it now as I'm talking. And it's always great when it hits the bar, isn't it? And goes in.
Makes it better.
And it was chaotic, wasn't it, really? 90th minute, Arsenal not lost for God knows how long. And then about 2 minutes later, he got the ball on the edge of the air. He tried to shift, and it landed on top of the air.
I was hoping you'd bring that up, because
would have gone home then.
That's not like the lost moment, because it wasn't a goal. I think that's some of the people who were there remember. But the skill and then the attempted chip afterwards,
we'd obviously spoken about him, and he wasn't necessarily in the wider public consciousness, really.
No.
I think it was known about, obviously, on Merseyside and within football circles, but that was when ITV had the highlights then, didn't he?
He did five cards. He was on the commentary, wasn't he?
Yeah. And remember, the name is is an iconic line, isn't it, really? I hate that word, iconic. Let's just stop using that. And he'd obviously broken, he became the youngest Premier League goal scorer, which he took off Michael Owen. But he didn't hold it very long, did he?
No, James Milner got up 6 later, didn't he?
Yeah, and then James Vaughan got it. James Vaughan still holds it, I think, doesn't he? Yeah, and I remember, and you know when you say, like, I remember, like, the press conference afterwards, then, up until 2013, you know, like, now they got press conferences where, like, they've got they're sitting on the panel, aren't they? Got all the advertising in the background. Then the press room at Goodison was actually next to the press box he just walked through. And so it was only, like, a relatively small room. And there was no, like, stand there. The manager literally came in and he either sat down at the table by the door with all the press guys, like, on top of them. Or stood up. And I remember Wenger coming in, and I was literally standing, what, 2 yards from him. And I remember them saying of, like, Wayne's the best English player I've seen since I've come over here. You know, and he did, like, press go, big deep breaths, you know.
That's not big praise, is it? You know, from
yeah, and he was right, of course. Yeah. And I just remember that. So that was just a great day. And you know, and that's the thing now, isn't it? With so much live football and, you know, football on demand, you can watch highlights straight after the game. You have to wait till 10:30.
Oh, I remember
that, late night to watch the game.
I remember it so well, because I wasn't going to match me at the time, and I'd come on and sit by my uncle at the time. For whatever reason, my dad hadn't gone, he wasn't going at that point, he hadn't been to the match. I was like, I've heard all this goal. I was like, no, you've heard about it. Wait till you see it. You can hear all you want about it. But when you see it, you'll just be like, it'll blow your mind.
Now I'll be all over social media within 30 seconds, wouldn't it?
Well, the Sky do a thing, don't they, where you can get instant highlights, like a 3-minute.
Absolutely. And I think that's sad. In some respects, and I think it makes made for a better moment.
I think I'm
to wait for it rather than just being instant. And I remember watching on the night, and I remember the Sunday papers in the days when, like, you got Sunday papers, and it was all like Wayne this, you know, 5 million bid off Inter Milan and stuff. Because I think Inter Milan were quite early on one of the teams who wanted to buy him.
Yeah, they were big on the strikers. Crespo, Vieri, big name strikers, didn't they?
And I think, you know, it was already thinking that, man, he's only 16, the lad. And it's funny, isn't it? I mean, it was a great bit of skill, and he came in the public consciousness. And it's why the discussion is, did Wayne ever become? You know, like, I remember, like, on that day, like, thinking, and it was afterwards, it's like the English Maradona, you know, it was that, and then stuff. And I thought it would be hard to live up to Diego. But you were thinking, and in some respects, he's a funny career, hasn't he?
He is. I agree with that, because I think he's still one of the best players England's ever produced.
Undoubtedly.
I also think that the one you saw in his first two seasons at Everton, even though his numbers might have been brilliant, and up until the injury at Euro 2004, I don't think he's ever that player again. It's not that the injury changed him, as good as he is. I don't think he's ever as mature, as good as he is. And maybe it's because he goes to such a good team at United. But there's another game in this season that we'll touch on the Maple, but I wanted to get your memories on as well about Wayne. Is I think one of the best ones I've ever seen at Goodison from him is actually in the 0-0 game against Bolton over the Christmas period.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But going on, just before we talk about that, going back to the point is, there's that rawness, isn't it, that as a teenager that it goes from you. But Wayne, it's a funny career in that, for a player who attracted so much emotion and intense scrutiny during his career, he hasn't had a very emotional career. There's not many great moments in his career, is there? I mean, the moments we're talking about is the Arsenal game, Euro 2004. After that, think, what's a great Wayne moment?
Well, there's great goals, but
European Cup finals, FA Cup finals, big league games. Okay, you know, scored from the halfway line against West Ham, you know, that type of stuff, you know. But that's about it. There's not, you know, strangely for a player who attracted so much emotion.
And he was emotional as a player.
During his career, and was emotional. His career is basically a load of stats, isn't it? You know, Man United's record goal scorer, England's record goal scorer, it might have been the cap winner.
Yeah.
What's missing, which it was so promised so much when you talk about like 2002, 2004, is career defining moments in the big moments.
Yeah.
And you know, somebody, I'm loath to say this. I was thinking about like this. Gerrard is probably not as talented as Rooney, undoubtedly, but he had great moments that,
he
determined his career that it was remembered by. Wayne didn't have any of them after 2004, even though he played in great teams and so on. His England career, he says, also he was generally not fit or not interested.
Yeah.
Take your pick in major tournaments. At United, he scored a lot of goals and he won trophies, but he didn't really provide as many moments as say Berbatov or somebody like that. And even only had, or obviously Cristiano Ronaldo's the other reference point. I mean, at that age, you know, Ronaldo's one of the greatest players in history. Wayne's football intelligence was completely off the scale compared to Ronaldo when he was 18.
It was. I think it's fair even of Messi as well, or different players. Like when Messi was obviously clearly brilliant at a young age. But as you say, I think when you look at Wayne in that moment, 18 years of age, you're like,
oh yeah, it's unbelievable.
He's got everything. And
he made
that. And I think that's a really good point, Gavin. I've never really thought of the emotional side of it, because as someone who's quite an emotional fella as well, maybe that's the Everton in me.
That's what Everton does. I just love to say that. if you're completely cold, ice running through your veins, and you've been watching Everton in your life, you must be something wrong with you, you know. And I think that's relevant, isn't it? In some respects, we got Wayne's best periods.
I think the most
interesting periods.
Not in terms of stats, but in terms of just the feel, they say the emotion.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's why I touch on the ball game that we're talking about now. But it's like,
yeah.
I remember reading in the programme, probably after I read Buckland's bit, because it's been a while, but I read an interview with Jeff Hurst, who played West Ham later on last season. He said, the performance that had impressed him the most, he'd managed to see the Bolton game. And he said, people talk about the goals, but that was what impressed me. I don't know. Yeah, I remember it felt like Bolton had like five men on him and they just couldn't get the ball off him.
Yeah. I actually, two things about the game. The Athletic about 2 years ago did the 50 greatest individual Premier League performances ever, and Rooney against Bolton.
Was it in?
Was in there, yeah, it was in there. And I think Jaskalan probably should have been in there as well, because he kept him out all afternoon. Yeah. And the other thing is, guess what? I didn't go that game. I was at my mate's wedding in Dorset. I did the highlights. It's about technology. 2002 is not a long time ago.
No.
But you had mobile phones, but you didn't have the internet and stuff. And it was waiting to find out what's at the telly, like a 20-5, whatever. Yeah. What the score was, and that's only 20 years ago. And I remember like 0-0, because we beaten Arsenal, then we got on that great run, hadn't we? We'd won.
Yeah, so that was the first 6 wins on the spin for the first time.
I upset Moisey once with a start in 2007-8. They won 5 on the spin.
Yeah,
and 6 on the spin. That's a really good team then, to be fair.
Yeah,
and it said like. Said like, oh, the first time going 6 on the spin since 1987. And I wasn't part of this conversation, but Moisey told somebody, he said, well, no, we did. We won 2002. We won 6 on the spin. But in between that,
Newcastle in the cup.
Which was, though we won on penalties, is technically a draw, which broke the sequence up, you see. So he wasn't happy to find that out, you know. But we'd had a really good. His defense. You got as much as Chris Isaac, he was great, and Joe Yobo come in. You know, he was developing a top class defender, and we won a lot of games 1-0. But we were defensively very, very solid.
Yeah,
and that ended in obviously the Newcastle game when Shearer scored that. You know, Shearer saves his goal of his career. For 4 minutes of the time against Everton.
There's nothing you can do with all that, is there? I mean, we played well in that game with 10 men. I know We go down from an early, but it's such a great goal. But like you say, there's nothing you can do about it. No,
we could. And you know what? If you have a look at that season, is we have a lot of players sent off before Christmas and for similar types of fouls, which I don't think you see now, where you're the last man and the player runs past you and you bring them down. And I think now they're told, don't do that. Because like that Newcastle game, we were winning 1-0. And I think Bellamy got the wrong side of Yobo, didn't he?
Yeah.
And it was only 20 minutes into the game. And Yobo brings him down. Well, hang on a minute. The clever way to do it is let him go through. If he scores, he scores. It's 1-1. He's still got 70 minutes left with 11 men.
Spot on. How about we play with the 10 as well in that game?
Yeah, well, we kept them out. And it was always going to take a worldie. And you know when that happens, you know that they're going to score again.
Yeah, I know the second is a bad goal to see, but I think you're still reeling from what's happened with the first, aren't you?
The other thing I did, two memories of this season around that time, was we played as part of that run of six consecutive games. The last one, I think we played West Brom. That was the one where Wayne put his hands on us.
Yeah, Darren Moore wasn't happy.
And I was out the gate outside Goodison that day. It was like a horrible, you know, grey, miserable, rainy November day. And guess what? Ticket types outside Goodison.
Yeah.
Anybody got a ticket? And I was thinking, this is mad.
Yeah.
This you know, like I've been in glory days and stuff like that. I've not seen for the league game other than a derby or something like people looking for tickets. And there was.
You're right.
And that was, I know Moyes has a certain reputation with Everton fans, which I think is totally undeserved and don't get it at all, but a fantastic manager for Everton. But you really cannot underestimate the impact. And this is one of my favourite seasons. Ultimately, it boils down to two people, Moyes and Rooney.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, and that affected the both of them. It's sort of like he re-energised Everton, Moyes.
It did.
Yeah, and people forget that from a terrible place in the early 2000s. And, you know, this season, it was like a rebirth.
It was, it was exciting. It was the first time I got my first season ticket in 96, 97, halfway through, which I'll discuss on that season why. It wasn't a half season ticket Christmas. It was someone else had it then. It was given to me and I was excited to have it. And I've missed four games since, hence the head full of grey hair.
What was the one game you missed out? That's the...
the games I've missed, no, I've missed four, so I've missed...
I missed
the one against Bradford a couple of seasons before this when there was the two pen saves. I missed one against 2006, and then I've missed a couple in the past decade.
Put going, mate.
My wife's very understanding, let's just put it that way.
The other thing to say about that season as well is I remember looking at a newspaper story, Robert Pires saying, I think we got into third place, I think at the end of November, we fear Everton.
Yeah, I was going to say that when you talked about Ferguson, because Pires was like the side we faced.
I just thought, that's mad.
Yeah.
You know, where we've come from.
We've had one season we've had two seasons really in the past decade at this point where we haven't been in the relegation picture, 95, 96, and 2000. And you're completely right. When I think back of the season talking with you, I remember just feeling excited going to watch Everton and confident, you know, like we're going to get some of the most games. And there's a player you touched on there, just kind of want to get your thoughts on a little bit, who comes in this season. You touched upon him in the back line and he goes on to be a stalwart for Everton for 8 years after he signed, pretty much. Joseph Yobo's debut season, how did you find it?
Yeah. Oh, excellent. He was another one. He'd been at Nigeria at the World Cup. He'd done well. Moyes got him in on a loan deal. I think they paid £1 million from Marseille.
Yeah.
And as soon as he was out injured. He didn't play till
the end of September. Game, wasn't it? When there was a suspension. Yeah. He was suspended for sending off.
Yeah. And I think he immediately, pacey, powerful, strong. He could. You know, he was good position, and he looked a class act straight away.
Yeah,
Joseph, one of them players. I don't think he ever really kicked on from that.
I think that's his peak, isn't it? Almost.
Yeah. In some respects, it's funny when he says stalwart, but he's not. He's a largely ignored player in Everton's Premier League history. You know, like of the 21st century.
Yeah.
Because when you think, I was having a look at it before we came on, because I wanted to talk about, so I thought, like, how many games did he play? And I was looking at, like, the mid, you know, he played like 30 Premier League games a season.
Yeah.
For about six seasons.
Well, there were some seasons like 06, 07, where he didn't miss a minute, did he?
He didn't miss a minute. But you never talk about him. I mean, if you said to anybody, Everton Central Defensive Partnership in the mid-2000s, you go, Alan Stubbs and Davy Weir.
Yeah.
You know,
Or go on to Lescott and Jagielka. Yeah.
And, like, Yobo partnered all of them. But yeah. It's actually completely, in some respects, completely forgotten about, even though he was a really good defender. Yeah. I think he could lose concentration sometimes, couldn't he, make a silly mistake? But for what we paid for him and for the mileage we got out of him as a player, he was top class for Everton, and I enjoyed watching him a lot. He was a good player, really good.
I think, because I mean, David Weir is one of my favorite Everton players. The listeners will probably know that by now. We'll probably know that he's one of my favorite ever Everton players, but that light's a bit ominous. Sorry, with Yobo, I think what stands out in this season is, because although Weir is a brilliant player and Stubbs was good for us, I think it's his pace stands out, because we didn't really have that at the back.
It was pacey, wasn't he?
Yeah, and I think that stood out. And I think he is really good in this season. And another player with pace who you touched on earlier was really good this season was Thomas Radzinski. It's one I'll discuss in the pod. In fact, I'll discuss another Evertonian who will mention it. Although the Rooney game is, the Arsenal game is brilliant, so is Rooney's goal.
Yeah.
I think I struggled to see past the times Radzinski's goal against Southampton for a bounce at Goodison Park.
That was fantastic, yeah. Going back to Davy Weir, a little story. I remember coming out to Goodison once, and there'd been a story about Weir maybe possibly going to Man United.
When Ferdinand got suspended, wasn't he?
Yeah. And I come out, and being tall and dark hair and the dark bitch, fella comes out, and coming out of Goodison later on, this fella comes out the window. He's obviously had a few sherbets, you know, and he's a lot younger than, like, he comes up to me, "Davey, don't go. Oh, Davey Weir, honestly, you know.
Well, I'd take that over Jeff's dad, though, Gav.
Derek Manfield's another one I've had, by the way.
I like
Derek, he's a great fella. But anyway, Davey Weir was good. But Tommy Radd, he had a great season, didn't he? I remember Gary Neville saying that he thought Radzinski was a Champions League striker. I know he played for Anderlecht and stuff, and then he'd go to Old Trafford, but you can see why he was pacey. He had a good shot on him. He could finish. He ran direct at defenders, frightened them. And he was up until... It was an interesting story about Radzinski. I think he got 11 or 12 goals in the season up until about February.
He kicked on this game.
And then he got an injury, I think, in early March, and they didn't play. And I got told, I don't know how this to the story is that he had a fallout with Moyes, or he just didn't fancy playing. It was all a bit of a mystery. He just sort of early March, he just fell off the cliff.
With him, didn't he? He just kind of
never saw him again, and he had such a great season. And I think there was more to it than what was reported at the time.
Yeah.
And I think he was great. I think he scored a few 1-0s at Goodison. And we scored the last minute equaliser against Man City on New Year's Day.
I love that, the header where he just, like, steals in and just
allegedly watched by 365 million people in China But the Southampton game, we scored. I remember writing this in Buckland's Bits and Bobs, just to plug the programme column of this season. We came from behind to win more games in this season than any other.
We won seven, absolutely.
We were 1-0 down and went back to 2-1. Yeah. And that Southampton game, because James Beattie obviously scored for Southampton.
I remember someone in the paddock said something to Beattie just before he scored, and he came. Yeah. I was like 5 rows in the pitch. He just gave it a little point to the fella behind me, like, "I heard what you said before."
And on the
Radzinski thing, I remember a shout my dad did around the time. He started coming a bit more in the second half of the season. He's just going to pace a bit more of a comedy one. But I always remember him having everyone laughing by us, because he was that shocked by Radzinski's pace. He went, "You'd send him the chippy, wouldn't you? Come back with everything."
Probably, yeah. He was, I think, Yeah, but he was, because he was speedy, and he that Southampton game, Rooney had come on a sub, I think, hadn't he?
Yeah, he did. He crosses for the first goal.
Yeah, he crosses the first. Take that. And I think he'd had another shot at 1-1 that had maybe gone into the side net. And, yeah. and they looked a bit ragged at the end. It was the last kick of the game, virtually, wasn't it? And they'd left their midfield vacant. And Gravesen picked the ball up. Fed Straczynski, who put his head down, ran towards the Glancy goal, and absolutely leathered it, didn't he, into the top corner.
It's probably the same thing, no technique, but I love how raw that is. It's just, I'm just going to smash this. There's only one thought. And I think, I remember at the time talking with mum and granddad, had been watching at home whilst we'd been at the match, and they said that Gordon Strachan was pointing at his watch, going on about the time, because the famous finished goalkeeper, Anthony Emmy, had been taking his time with the goal kicks.
Yeah.
Beyond injury time. But the ref had added it on because they were time wasting. So
yeah,
I think it's a bit justice there. But I think one of the reasons I remember that is, as I said, I sat in the paddock and all the players kind of come in where I sat. Like, I remember seeing Davey Weir come flying past. It was just absolute pandemonium. It was a great
moment. It was a brilliant goal, that. I think, you know what, was that his last goal of the season for us? I think it might have been.
Yeah, because he disappeared in that time. And
We'd had a bit of a dodgy run over Christmas where we'd drawn a lot of games but not won.
Yeah.
And then we'd had that run then where we brought Brian McBride in, hadn't we?
Good player.
I think he'd scored Spurs on debut. We got beat. We've got to mention the goalie, haven't we?
Poor old Espen Barson.
Espen Barson.
When you look back at the goals, I think not a lot you could do, but it's, if you're a goalkeeper in the one game you've played, you can see four goals. You
know, I think he went down.
Yeah,
like me, I still play. That's my goal. But then Matt Bright scored two against Sunderland, didn't he?
And Stephen one was a lovely finish, like a low finish, really.
And then we won three. Steve Watson had come in and scored a few goals. So we've got to get ourselves back into position. Champions League, not going to qualify, but we're definitely in the place for Europe.
Yeah.
And then we beat Southampton, and it was third, fourth winner on the spin. Yeah. And then we went to Middlesbrough, and I remember Bain missed a great chance in the last minute where Southgate just took the ball off him.
Yeah.
And then we drew against West Ham, and we went to Arsenal, and in I think the end of March, and obviously the hype was a little bit about Rooney, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And going back to Arsenal. And I remember, like, and they were flying. I think they were top of the league, and we can't beat one, and they're thinking, we're going to get battered here. And like, we came back into the game, we had a couple of chances in the first half, and then in the second half, there's a great goal by Wayne, wasn't it? Where he gets the ball not on the touchline on the right hand side, and he sort of drives it. I can't remember.
One at Leeds, is it? Like, he drives it
past.
And you can see Seagon's like Lucas Ratherby, he's backing off, he's worried, he doesn't commit to him.
And it's right through his legs, so Seaman can't see it, and it goes in. And then, disappointingly, he's got a white string vest on. For the 17-year-old, you've got to be good to get away with that. But what I meant, there's two things about that game I remember was, first of all, Ferguson, we forget about Duncan Ferguson there, because Ferguson's very much on the sideline. Not even a sub. But he came on that sub that day. And
against Villa as well, didn't he?
Yeah, that's where, when he came on, Alan Wiley was the ref. And you just seen Alan Wiley go to his line. Yes. Referee says, keep an eye on him, isn't it? Something like that. Keep an eye on him. Like marking his card. And they scored the winner where, I think it was a clear foul on I can't remember, on Unsworth or something, quite obvious. But the referee to keep the title race alive, as they always do, allowed it. I think our mate Vieira scored, was it? And I remember the lads I was working at the time wrote to the Premier League to complain that the referee should have. Well, you can investigate the referee. It was quite obviously a foul, and the Premier League never got back to him. Oh. But that was another memory of that season. We played quite well at Highbury, and we were unlucky.
We petered out a little bit towards the end of the season, but there's some performances, like, you know, we're unlucky. I think we're unlucky on the last day against United.
I think we beat Newcastle at Goodison when Bobby Robson was
here. That was a good win. That was a really good game.
They were going for the Premier League title. They were only three points.
They were right up there, weren't they?
And if you remember in that game, I think Wayne scored a header, and then Graveson got involved. I think he might have he was being booked, and he went through. Olivier Bernard left him lying.
Yeah, he should have been sent off, shouldn't he?
Yeah, he should have been sent off. But the referee carried on playing, and then we got a penalty, and Unzi scored the winner. Yeah. And like Bobby Robson, remember him on the line, was absolutely going
livid, wasn't he? He loses it, doesn't he?
And then we got to Easter, we had that sort of 6 points for the UEFA Cup places with Liverpool.
Yeah,
at Goodison, and you know what? To be fair. There's some good players then, but Richard Wright let the Michael Owen shot in advice of the first half, so nevertheless. And then Danny Murphy scored a worldie. And
yeah,
then
we went to Chelsea. It's frustrating.
On Easter Monday, we got beat 4-1, I think. And it was a Richard Wright masterclass, wasn't it? He just runs out to Zola, who's going nowhere by the corner flag.
Yeah, do you want to chip Richard me?
Do you want to chip me? You know, we did the same with. Garcia's in the Anfield a few years later.
He did.
We got heavily beaten there because Chelsea being our bogey team. If you remember, they'd beaten us at Goodison, maybe battered them.
Yeah, it was quite a tough game.
Eddie Walsh at home, wasn't it?
Yeah. I think that's one of the good things about the season is you've touched on the Chelsea game, the Arsenal game. And even the Liverpool game to extent, there are performances that are the good performances.
Absolutely. Chelsea be battered. They were winning 2-0. We got it to 2-1. I think Campbell at the bar has one cleared off the line. Then Eddie, I think it might have been, I'm sure that Eddie Walsingham's last Premier League game, he was that crap as a referee.
Yeah, he was getting on at that point as well, Eddie, wasn't he?
Yeah, he sent Hunsie off for basically nothing. He tangled with Gronkviar, I think, by the dugout. I think Hunsie might have thrown a punch with more chance of it Moyes than Gronkviar, And he sent him off, even though Gronkjaer was equally his fault anyway. And then they scored the third straight away.
Yeah.
And I think we were unlucky, in Liverpool. But I think we ran a lot of steam. I think that was I'm not sure if you have a look at the size of the squad. He probably played the same team every game by and large. Another player's breakout season was Tony Hibbert.
Yeah, it was, wasn't it? He was beaten a little bit under Walter, but this is where he really started.
Yeah, and he had a great season. He looked really promising. But I remember when Wayne signed his contract in January 2003,
Hibbert signed his press conference, didn't he?
But so I think all the press had turned up. Not necessarily to see Tony sign his contract, to be fair. But I think I remember Henry Winter saying, you're ignoring that this is two really good deals for Everton. That's all. Hibbert is a really promising fullback, and Tony had an excellent Everton career. I liked Hibbert a lot, and
he's good, really good defender. He was really. I think if he'd have been a couple of inches taller, he'd probably been a great centre half. I think because you talk about Joseph Yovo's position and reading the game.
Yeah.
That was from the Tony Ab. He read the game so well, didn't he?
Oh yeah, absolutely. In many respects, he was a victim of the change in nature of fullback play, and that was all about getting forward. But he was proper. I mean, there was never any winger who Hibbert had he always had a good game against. I mean, and I think the Cup fan, he was unlucky, wasn't he, in 2009? I think he got booked early on. But
I think he had some rain as well. It was a roast.
He had a really strong season, Tony Hibbert. And I think you forget that. They had a long Everton career, and he was hugely promising. He was seen as being hugely promising at the time.
Yeah.
And Wayne... Wayne's new contract, that was obviously a massive thing. And then we get to April, and we're still in around the UEFA Cup places. We I know the game you said about, you talk about, was the end of April, which we played Villa, who were at Goodison, who were they were in relegation.
Sorry.
Problems.
So the Villa game. It was a bit of it was a big game, that, wasn't it? Because I feel like we had to beat Villa to keep on any chance of getting European football, didn't it?
Yeah, yeah. And they were struggling themselves, Villa. They were in relegation, near the bottom, relegation trouble. And Graeme Taylor was the manager.
Second spell,
and I remember that day we were really struggling. We were just playing football by numbers by that stage of the campaign.
You could see it in them, couldn't you? You could see they were tired.
They went 1-0 off, I think. Was it Melberg? I can't remember.
I think it was Marcus Orbach. I'll double check that.
I always get that mixed up. I'm bluffing there, by the way. That was it. But the one thing we said about this season is never write Everton off, especially at home if they're getting beat 1-0. I mean, we got a goal back through Kevin Campbell, I think it was a header, wasn't it, at the Gladys Street end, and it's the old, you know, old cliche, the Gladys Street will suck the ball in, and then you got into injury time and thinking that's it, you know, and then Wayne, the ball breaks, doesn't it, at the edge of the box.
Yeah.
And Wayne hits it with his left foot, and it's not the strongest shot.
No.
Or best placed shot in the world. It's also that I think it'd been raining, hadn't it? It was like quite a damp, and it's also
really real downpour.
And I think it just nipped in at the near post, and I think it was chaos. Was another last minute where
it really was. It went off, and I think because, as you say, we've just lost Liverpool, things are riding on it, and you know, I think, or we end up surrendering going to Fulham next week. I think you're thinking by beating Villa, we can get some of the last two games.
Yeah.
I think as well, we're maybe not expecting the upturn in form from Blackburn at this point, who it started coming on a bit strong from.
I think the other thing about the Villa game, that was the season Granada did the Football Stories documentary, doesn't it? And it's on YouTube, isn't it?
Is it?
Yeah. Where Granada did like a series of like each of the teams in Northwest documentary on them, and the Everton documentary they did was based around the Villa game.
Oh right.
So we were talking about Moyes regenerating the club, but they filmed at the Villa game, I think, and that was just a memorable game, a memorable win, and you think we go to Fulham, I think they just sacked the.
Coleman had just come in as the key taker, hadn't he, to kind of get them safe. And we were in that weird phase that a lot of Evertonians will know that it's only really broken recently, where we had like a gentleman's agreement with Fulham where we win here, you win there.
I
mean, it was the first 7-8 years of the Premier League, when they came up. The Premier League, it was like that, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think it's the longest sequence of home victories in any fixture, isn't it?
Yeah.
Fulham. It started in the mid-60s,
yeah,
and was still going by the end of the 2000s. It was broken, wasn't it, by Leon Broca? Leon's first goal in that game, beautiful, great through ball by Pienaar. He runs right across the defence and takes it around the keeper. Anyway, we're digressing. That's for another episode.
They will be discussed plenty. Don't worry them too.
Yeah, but we come to Fulham, and we. Come on, Harry Carey told me I think we hit the post early on.
Yeah.
And then Alan Stubbs, like bit of a comedy own goal, really. And then by 20 minutes, we conceded two own goals because there was a free kick. And Rich Wright, as I say, he was by the stage of the season becoming a bit of a liability.
Yeah.
He allowed what looked like a straightforward free kick. He didn't gather the near post and the ball somehow. Well, he got credited with the own goal, didn't he?
He did. And do you know what, when you say that, Gavin, it shows how history repeats itself, because 11 years later, there's the game at Southampton, isn't there, when Everton are pushing for the Champions League under Roberto Martinez.
And we did the same, didn't we? Yeah.
We go and score two own goals early on and kind of just totally shoot ourselves in the foot in the game.
And we did at Fulham. And it was really, really disappointing, because you thought if we get a win there, would have given us UEFA Cup place.
Yeah,
and so you then go to United on the last day, and they have been crowned champions the week before, hadn't they? Because I think Leeds won at Arsenal.
They lift the trophy at Goodison, don't they? Because they've played against Charlton, but they're waiting for the result.
That was a strange game, that, because so we've got, if Spurs beat Blackburn, doesn't matter. We I think we were 2 points ahead of Blackburn, doesn't matter. So Blackburn have got to win. I told me, Faith, I said, I was doing this podcast night, really looking forward to the 2002-03 season. He said, always remember, he says, always be worried when you're lying on Spurs doing you a favour. That's always a bad position to be in, isn't it, really?
Yeah.
And that was the case here. We're relying on Spurs to do us a favour if we don't beat United. And I think they got beat 4-0. And so that means we've got to beat United. And I know, again, it was a topsy-turvy game. I think they would have been scored early on. And then Wayne, I think we need to talk, when we're talking about Wayne as a player, is he was never a natural goal scorer. He wasn't a Michael Owen, was he? Or
no, he was more of a scorer, although I know he's more of a scorer of great goals than a great goal scorer, wasn't he?
And I think he at this first couple of years at Goodison, particularly this game, his finishing could be, and you mentioned one-on-ones, not the best. And the Manchester United, he always had a problem, I think, balls played fast from out wide across him. Never seen him be able to strike it well. And this United game, I think he missed three really great chances to score. When it was 1-1, we'd made it 1-0. Then Beckham scored that free kick somehow. I don't know.
It was like three people on the line.
it's like a cross, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And then Wayne had like two or three chances in the second half. And you think about, we're still in this. And then about 5 minutes from time, we had a couple of bad penalty decisions we had this season. And Mike Riley, I think it was the ref, wasn't he?
Gives
a penalty which just baffled belief, where Alan Stubbs literally doesn't touch Van Nistelrooy, and the dustman goes down like a proverbial bag of spuds in the penalty area, and gets up and scores, and that's it. But it could have gone either way the second half. I mean, United were the better team, but we ended up getting beat 2-1, and we ended up seventh, which is a fantastic achievement, considering if you have a look at the previous six seasons, we'd finished 15th, 14th, 17th, 15th, 14th, 17th. To get seventh, we've been in the top six or even the top four for most of the season, from the end of September.
We've been really strong.
And it was a fantastic achievement.
We've gone up. You touched on before. I don't think people make these leaps for me. We've gone up eight places in the Premier League. We've gone up nearly in one season. We've added a few players in the summer, but not a particularly large turnover of players.
No, I mean, for some games later on in the season, I think Yobo was probably the only player that Moyes inherited and the Moyes didn't inherit. We'd obviously, Rodrigo's the player you mentioned. Yeah. You know, he done his cruciate after about four games, didn't play. And so it was Moyes, really, the players inherited, plus Yobo, and obviously Rooney was sort of a new player. And I think, to get to seventh, I know the club getting out with stick over the magnificent seventh DVD or video. It was still video in those days, wasn't it? But at the time, nobody was complaining.
I think anyone would have took that coming in season. I don't think anyone expected us to be... you say we play a bit of football by numbers in the second half season, which I agree with, but I just don't think anyone expected it to be as exciting as it was that season. And I think
the excitement came because most of our games, even the games we won, were tight.
Yeah,
we had to chisel out most games. We had to really chisel out the wickets. There was no like stay forward 3-0.
No.
I mean, I think I'm trying to think. I'm not sure how many games you won was 17. I think maybe 15 of them were by the odd goal. I think we beat Leeds 2-0 and Fulham 2-0.
I think
the other 15 were all 1-0s or 2-1s.
Yeah, they were.
And I think I might be wrong here. It was the only time we scored three in the season when we got beat at Spurs in one game.
Gavin, I think I don't want to sound too
in the league.
Anyone knows it's going to be you. So
no, I'm just thinking aloud here. We've been a team that conceded all the goals.
Off the top of my head, scored one goal. The only time we do score. Remember the next season we beat Leeds 4-0, which I'll go to a different part. I was surprised that we'd actually scored so many goals in the game, because, like you say, we played some good football, but we weren't scoring loads.
Yeah. Most of the games were tight matches, and that's where the excitement comes in, and that's where you're home, the crowd gets behind you. And you know, even 1-0 wins we're exciting if you can call it that. And I love this season, as I say, for personal reasons for myself, because it was the first time I started doing stuff for the club. But I love the way Moyes regenerated the club with Rooney, and I just remember like that West Brom game, like tickets outside Goodison for a home match against West Brom in a horrible day, in dark day in November. I'm thinking there's something happening here.
Especially when you consider how it was just we're talking, that's in November. Moyes was what it was 8-9 months earlier.
8 months before,
talk about it, like people were just like, I think a lot of people had fallen in love with Everton. And Les Roberts, who we had on the show discussing 97, 98, very kind of, he made the point out as well. In the 90s and stuff, all football was gone. You know, Goodison wasn't sold out. And as you said earlier, in the 80s, Goodison would normally sell out for the big games, you know. So to see that,
it does show
that there was something positive around the club at the time.
Yeah, we averaged, I mean, if you have a look this season, apart from about September onwards, I think it was a full house every game. For, I mean, that was when it was just over 40,000, wasn't it?
Yes.
I think it was 40,000 every game.
Yes.
And, you know, at a time where, you know, as you say, for many years you got full house in the derby, maybe, you know, big gate, you know, and in the 90s Man United maybe always had big gates and stuff, but full houses for home games against Sunderland and, you know, as I say, West Brom, it's just crackers.
It's mad. It is,
you know, it's just you know, and I think we need to remember when I heard the 2006-07 pod, I really enjoyed it. But there was a really valid point made in that pod, which I think is relevant to this season. But we know what you're talking about there, this about the players Moyes inherited. That 06-07 was probably, I always think that's when the Moyes era, the proper era, started.
Yeah, it's his team at that point.
You mentioned that in the pod, I think. Yeah. And I thought that was a really good point. I think the team became different. Moyes became different as a manager. The team went up a level in 2006. Yeah. In the 4 years till then, I think it was an element of mixing and matching.
Definitely.
A little bit. Players that he'd inherited with the odd sign and here and there.
Yeah.
He'd obviously bought Kyle and so on a little bit. But it was still very much felt like a Walter Smith team with a few others. It was only, I think, when that summer of 2006, when he brought Johnson, Howard, Lescott in, that became a proper Moyes Everton team. And we were far better from that period on than what we've been in his first 4 years.
And we're more consistent, I think, not just the football,
but
we reach a level of consistency, don't we, in terms of we're always going to be around a certain level. But
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, yeah, we widely conceded. I mean, that 06-07 season, we conceded 36 goals. I mean, the thing about 02-03 as well is we only got 2 points fewer than what we did when we qualified for the Champions League.
It's
got
mad,
59 in this season. We got 61 in 04-05. And if you think, and it was a real kick in the nuts, wasn't it, in this season? Southampton got beat in the cup final, didn't they? They finished eighth, and we're the only club in the top eight of English football not to play in Europe the following season.
Really frustrating. It was, but you know what, talking about it with you tonight has been absolutely lovely, and it's great. And you suggested it, so I know you really care about this season. I'm going to ask you, I know I put you on the spot, I mentioned it off air. I want you to pick for me your favourite player in this season, your favourite game, and your favourite goal.
Oh, right, okay. But the favourite game and goal is probably the Arsenal and Rooney one. I haven't said that though. I think for its importance, and what I think back at the time, the Villa goal by Rooney, because it was so important in the context of the season. We were all talking about the UEFA Cup and, you know, getting into Europe. In many respects, that was more important, because the Arsenal game was in the moment. That was it. But the Villa game, it was important in the context of the season. Yeah, and I think there was similarities to that goal with I'd celebrated even more, well, if he could. You can't in the press box, obviously, is Leon Osman's goal against Portsmouth at that time, you know, January 05.
That's one of my
that was added time, wasn't it?
Yeah.
That was in time. That was added on for time wasting and added time. And So the Arsenal game is one of the, you know, one of the best games I've ever seen at Goodison for lots of reasons, and that was the game. And my favorite player, well, we mentioned, you know what, we mentioned Rosinski. Rooney had great season in patches. Wayne, you know what, I'm going to go with, I think Joey Obo had a great season. It was something a little, as you say, there was something still exotic about overseas players.
There was a bit more mystique, wasn't
there? There was, you know, we'd obviously had Daniel Amakachi in the mid-90s, but there was some, and Yobo played in the World Cup, and he looked class when he started. I'll go with, I won't go with the obvious of Wayne or Tommy Radd. I'll go with Joseph Yobo, who had a very, very good Everton career, and fair play for Moyes for picking him. I know he was the World Cup, he played well, but it was a good signing for Moyes. But yeah, I think it was just such a great season for me personally, and also for Everton. And we should have Moyes, for some reason, get stick, but I've got so much respect and time for him.
And I get that. I discussed it. I didn't like the way he left Everton. I touched on that when I discussed 2012-13. But I think,
yeah,
I think that's evolution of time. I think the job he does in this season in particular is nothing short of outstanding. Because I remember, just on a final note from my perspective with it, is that I remember seeing the players at the end of the game against United, and I don't say, but like David Unsworth, he looked a bit slimmer. They looked fitter. They looked sharp, and you could see like everyone at the club had given everything they got. And I think there were maybe one or two times in this season or two before that where, without digging anyone individually, there were times that maybe wasn't happening. And I think it felt a bit more like Everton. Yeah, well, it's been nothing short of an absolute pleasure to discuss this with you.
Oh, thank you, mate.
Before I let you go. Is there anything you want to plug? Obviously, we touched on your book here. You've recently started this venture, Toffeeopolis, with some really good Everton authors in James Corbett, Rob Sawyer, and Simon Hart. So do you want to take us a little bit?
Yeah. So, this is a separate pod if you want to. But no, we started the venture a while back, Toffeeopolis, which is, I'd say, the four of us doing Everton books via the Mount Vernon Publishing group, which you can find on Twitter, and I retweet it regularly. So you'll see copies of all our individual books as authors. So that, for me, will be When You Can't Buy a Stuff, My History of Everton in the 60s through to the early 70s, the follow-up, Boys in the Blue Stuff, which goes from 73 to 85. And later on in the year, you'll have my third instalment of John Moores era, which ends in 1994. I'll let you guess what game it ends at. But later this year. And there'll be other books out, obviously, with, you know, based on Everton, you know, from ourselves. And it's going well, and I'm looking forward to it. And you never know, by the time we get to the next, maybe the fourth book might get up to this season that we're talking about.
Hopefully. But guys, I would recommend they really checking that out, because I can say this is not just plugging it because Gavin's a guest. I've read Money Can't Buy Us Love and Strange But Blue, which I've both really enjoyed. Boys in the Blue Stuff is on my to-do list, but I've not quite got around to it yet. Yeah. And I've read books by all the other authors. James did brilliant work on Howard's book. Rob's book on Harry Kattick is brilliant. And as I discussed with Gavin off air, even Simon's Here We Go is one of the best ever read on. It's a lovely book, and genuinely check them out, because they're not just good, you know, good Evertonians, they're good writers, and there's a lot of content that I'd recommend there. So Gav, thanks so much for your time.
Thank you very much for asking me on. It's been a pleasure. I feel heartily happy, and you know, it's just great to look back at, you know, a great season for me personally and the club. And I think a lot of fans enjoyed the campaign as well. And hopefully they enjoyed the podcast.
Hopefully. Thanks, Gab.